When many of us hear the word sloth, we think of that slow-moving mammal that we often see in zoos or in pictures and whatnot. And it is aptly named because we obviously equate sloth oftentimes with that of laziness. But sloth is more than just laziness, especially when it comes to our spiritual lives. In regards to the spiritual life, sloth, or as it is called, acedia, is one of the seven deadly sins. And acedia is defined as a sorrow or an aversion to spiritual goods. That is, the goods that God offers to us. First and foremost, of course, our salvation. That involves living a good moral life, deepening one's relationship with God, and so forth. That's what God offers to us. So the word acedia comes from a Greek word meaning a lack of concern. And in this case, it is a lack of concern for one's salvation. That is what acedia is. Now, sloth can certainly take many forms, such as physical sloth, whenever we don't want to do anything, or maybe we're avoiding our chores or avoiding other work that we need to attend to. But there is also mental sloth, in which we don't want to study or read or exercise our minds at all. But for our purposes today, we speak of acedia, that of spiritual slothfulness. One of the ways that acedia is manifested is the avoidance of God and the avoidance of spiritual practices by busying ourselves with the world and practicing a sort of workaholism or activism. In this particular manifestation of acedia, we find ourselves seeking distractions. We want to occupy ourselves with all sorts of various activities. And at the same time, we say, I'm too busy to pray. I'm too busy to go to church. We had a busy weekend. Sorry, God, we couldn't make it to Sunday Mass. And other such thoughts that we might be tempted to think. But this form of acedia can be very evident to us, and it is quite common, especially in an ever-increasing busy culture in which we live. But there's yet another manifestation of acedia that tends to be very subtle, and it is that of discouragement. This discouragement is found when one has embarked on a spiritual journey, or even when one has embarked on a new vocation, like priesthood or religious life or married life, and the newness of it begins to wear off. With the newness of our spiritual journeys that we embark on, one can be tempted into discouragement and boredom. And this boredom tempts one into thinking that perhaps we've made a mistake, or that we must leave the path simply because that newness and that honeymoon feeling has worn off. This deadly sin of acedia, that of giving in to discouragement, to boredom, and to sliding off in our spiritual journeys, no matter the progress that we have made, this is commonly known as the noonday devil. This term comes from Psalm 91, verse 6, which speaks of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. The Desert Fathers of the Church, based on this particular psalm verse, coined the term the noonday devil. There's a book that I read several years ago called The Noonday Devil, with the subtitle of Acedia, the Unnamed Evil of Our Times. It's written by a Benedictine abbot named Jean-Charles Nolte. It's a very good book that explains the sin of acedia very well. I would encourage it for your reading for the benefit of your own spiritual lives. But most of us will experience the noonday devil on the natural level. We all experience this. Many days from about noon until about 3 p.m., there is a certain sluggishness and even maybe a sleepiness that sets in, especially maybe after we've had a good lunch. Some of us battle this natural noonday devil with an afternoon cup of coffee or maybe a Red Bull energy drink or a workout or something of that sort, while some of us maybe will just take an afternoon nap, which, believe me, I do not condemn afternoon naps. But what is happening here in this natural sense when we're experiencing this? Well, the newness of the day is gone, it's worn off, and the day just seems to kind of drag along at this point. And all we want to do maybe is just take a nap. The noonday devil, in the natural sense, has set in. But the noonday devil afflicts us in the spiritual life as well, in a supernatural sense. And this is what acedia refers to. It afflicts our faith in God at times. Not necessarily just a particular time of day, but at a particular point in our spiritual journeys. The early afternoons, we might say, of our spiritual journeys can be a dangerous and tempting time. We can easily be tempted into spiritual sloth, a laziness or an aversion towards God and spiritual things because perhaps we become bored or discouraged. The noonday devil can make us think that we have lost our zeal and our love for Almighty God, and it can make us long for sinful habits, which are easier and can cause us to flee from the spiritual course. But brothers and sisters, we must not allow the noonday devil to triumph. We mustn't allow the noonday devil to have his way with us, but rather we must persevere in the spiritual life. We must keep turning to the Lord in faith and in confidence and in hope with our prayers, and we can't nap on our spiritual duties. In the gospel that we hear this weekend, our blessed Lord encounters the Canaanite woman. This woman is not a Jew. She's not of the house of Israel. She's effectively an outsider. And she approaches our Lord with this concern. She says to him, "Have pity on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." And what is Jesus' response to the Canaanite woman? He ignores her. He ignores her. He doesn't answer her. But the woman persists. And then our Lord says to her, in order to test our faith, and that's what he's doing in this whole passage, in order to test her faith, he says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the woman continues to plead, even gives Jesus homage, which of course he deserves being God. And her faith continues to drive her as she says, "Lord, help me. Help me, Lord." And our blessed Lord, once again to test her faith, says, "It is not right to take the food of children and throw it to the dogs." And then this Canaanite woman uses a little anecdote as if to win over our Lord's heart. And she says, "Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps from their master's table." And our Lord replies to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." What a beautiful reward for her faith and her perseverance. What's even more marvelous about this passage is the fact that the woman was not of the house of Israel, the people to whom the Messiah was promised. But our Lord is certainly teaching us something there as well, that his salvation is for all. But this woman has faith in Christ. She persevered and persisted in her faith. She could have easily have given in to discouragement and to despair. She could have given in to the sin of acedia. But she did not. Rather, she conquered it, and she was rewarded for the gift of her faith. Her daughter was healed. The Canaanite woman teaches us of the importance of perseverance, including when we are afflicted with the noonday devil, the temptation to the sin of acedia. And in the face of acedia, in the face of the noonday devil, whether it be a general laziness towards prayer and the spiritual life, or being too busy to pray and to grow in our relationship with God, it is imperative, brothers and sisters, for the salvation of your soul, that you fight against the temptation to the sin of acedia. It is imperative, brothers and sisters, that we do this. If athletes, for example, gave in to their temptations or their laziness to forgo this or that workout or to fudge in their eating habits, and even assume that they're just going to win the race or the competition, whatever it is, simply on good talent, then they would make absolute fools of themselves when it came to the competition. But athletes choose not to give in to laziness because they know that giving in to those temptations and being slothful, they know what it does to them. And so instead, they seek to keep their eyes fixed on the victory. Well, in the same way, and infinitely more important, brothers and sisters, we must persevere through spiritual trial and spiritual sloth. Now, sometimes it may seem like to us, we may be tempted to think, well, God is ignoring me because he's not answering my prayers. It is the furthest thing from the truth that God ever ignores us, brothers and sisters. Our lives of faith are not always going to be easy. They're not going to be about good and fuzzy feelings. And our spiritual lives are not going to move at 100 miles an hour. There will be times to be tempted into boredom and to discouragement, and even the temptations to just throw in the towel and give in. But brothers and sisters, we must fight the good fight. We must stay the course. We must persevere. We must have a concern for our salvation. That's what it means, brothers and sisters, to be Catholic, to have a true, real concern for our salvation and to seek to deepen our relationship with our good and loving God. So how can we combat this vice, this deadly sin of acedia? Well, here's a suggestion. So recently, Father Kelly discovered and realized that Father Kelly needs to start exercising again and get back in shape. I know the black cassock, it hides a multitude, trust me. But I've come to remember that it's important. You got to have a consistent workout routine in order to stay in shape and to stay ahead of it. So it's important to do that and to stick to it. Well, with that in mind, and again, infinitely more important when it comes to the spiritual life, it's important that we find ways to improve our spiritual workout. If you don't really have one, if you don't have a consistent spiritual plan that you stick to, then I would encourage you to take a few minutes this week and to sit down and to write one out. Literally, those things, those simple things and acts of faith that you can commit yourself to that can be your spiritual workout, so to speak. And whenever you have that spiritual plan, then stick to it. Like the Canaanite woman, persevere. Maybe you need a workout buddy in your spiritual plan to help encourage you and to keep you accountable, whoever that may be. And whenever the going gets rough, again, brothers and sisters, stick to the plan. Be faithful to our Lord. God is going to be with you. He's not going to abandon you. He is there to strengthen you and to help you along. And he gives us the glorious gifts of friendship with Our Lady, with Saint Joseph and the saints as well to help us. And God rewards us for our faithfulness. So let us turn to our blessed Lord in prayer during this holy sacrifice of the Mass. And as we prepare to receive our blessed Lord and that most prized gift, the noblest of all gifts, that of the Holy Eucharist, let us ask him to give us the grace and the strength that we need. And one day when we have fought the good fight and we've overcome acedia and the noonday devil, our Lord will say to us, just as he said to the Canaanite woman, "Great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.